LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. St. Clair Productions is the Rogue Valley's source for live music, with an eclectic mix of folk music concerts at Ashland's Unitarian Center from September through May. Styles include blues, bluegrass, Americana, and music from around the world. For a complete listing of upcoming shows, go to www.stclairevents.com. That is www.stclairevents.com. Or call 541-535-3562. KSKQ thanks St. Clair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
My name is...
You are listening to KSKQ LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Now stay tuned for Beer Radio.
Welcome back to Beer Radio, everybody. This is Ginger Johnson, your host, streaming live from KSKQ.org, 94.9 on your FM dial in Ashland, Oregon, a fabulous community radio station. So thanks for tuning in. We are here today, episode 3, and we've got some songs today. Actually, I was visiting thrift stores last week and came across an album that was screaming my name. It was called, hang on, let me grab it, dig. Beer Drinking Music, and I couldn't think of a more appropriate album to try. So I actually tried this at home. There was no disclaimer that said I shouldn't try it at home. So we're going to play a couple of those today also. And we're going to talk about a little beer and food again. Keep going on that. We are into episode 3. Our first one was in February, the inaugural one, at the good graces of the fabulous people at KSKQ. And that was about a herstory, some history of women in beer. Last week's was beer and food. It's one of my favorite combinations. And so we're going to keep talking a little bit about beer and food. And we're specifically going to talk about some different menus from some past beer events. So before we get into that, I just wanted to share with you once again, if you chimed in for the first couple episodes, you know you can reach me, Ginger Johnson, your host. I have Women Enjoying Beer. You can send me an email at any time. And while I don't have a live connection today, send me your emails anyway with your questions, and I will cover them the following week. That would be perfect. I want to know what you want to know and have your comments, and I will share those on the air in following weeks. So you can reach me, Ginger Johnson, at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com, and go ahead and send questions and comments and suggestions and so forth as you wish. So here we are into the 5 o'clock hour, getting close to dinner time for a lot of people, if not happy hour already, which is great. I think beer makes for happier hours. So we're going to get right into some food and beer and beer and food. We'll start off talking about how a lot more places, establishments, are getting into beer dinners. Now, we live in Oregon, and if you're streaming this and if you don't, Oregon is in the heart of beer country for the United States. The West Coast has a really strong, rich beer culture. So you're fortunate if you live in one of those states, if you're into beer, of course. Thankfully, most of our fine United States have some beer culture to it. Some is a little farther spread apart, but certainly some has a rich concentration. Oregon is one of those states. Colorado is another fabulous state if you're into beer. California has some great choices. And so you can find great beer a lot of places. In fact, most people live within 10 miles of a brewery this day and age, strictly because of population base. So you should be able to find a great brewery to enjoy some fresh beer, whether it's on site at a brew pub or a tap room, or if you can get some fresh from draft from a local establishment that carries the local brewed beer. So let's get into some food. One thing I was going to mention is, or we'll talk about rather, is a lot of places are getting into those beer dinners. And in Oregon, it's probably old news for some. At the same time, new people come of age all the time. New people are exposed to beers and new beers and all that all the time. And so it's a fun and very effective way for breweries and businesses to get more people interested and engaged in beer. When you think about it, everybody needs to eat. Some people, perhaps it's more perfunctory. Some people, it's more enjoyment-based, and some of us probably should just do a little more walking. Regardless, beer and food is a great combination. Moderation, of course, is always the key. Some different places that I'll just talk about tonight that have had some different beer events. One, in fact, is still coming up this evening. You've got time. I think they start serving anytime. And that's at 38 Central in Medford, Oregon. They are doing a beer dinner tonight, and I believe that Mad River is the brewery that's being featured. So that is a fun exploration. And if you think about it that way, it's a great opportunity to learn about beer. You know, one of the best side benefits is that you meet some other fantastic people, regardless of where you all come from. It's a great common start for conversation. So beer is definitely a social and conversational lubricant, and you throw in some food and you've got a winning combination. So I know 38 Central has that dinner tonight. There's lots of different places. Kaleidoscope Pizza, if you've heard of that. That's an establishment that's pretty well known in the Rogue Valley here in the state of Jefferson. And they asked Women Enjoying Beer, the business that I started, to help them launch an inaugural beer dinner because they'd never done a beer dinner. A lot of places have done wine events, and the wine industry has done a tremendous job at getting people involved. So the beer community is definitely going full bore into that as well. Helped with that beer dinner in Kaleidoscope Pizzeria in Medford in January, and that was a great success. 41 people came, and most of them had never been to any kind of beer and food event, period, not to mention beer and a full-on meal. So it was really fun to see all the aha moments, all the discovery, everybody really literally digging in, forking into what was on their plate and making that match with what was in their glass. So those are some things. And keep your eyes peeled. If that appeals to you, there's a lot of different opportunities out there for beer and food to go together. So we're going to talk about some past menus that we've done with Women Enjoying Beer in particular. And a lot of them, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. Well, a lot of our menu ideas have come from other places, which is terrific because they can, of course, just perpetuate new ideas and different ideas and fresh ideas. You know, there's always going to be somebody that hasn't tried a combination you've tried. So therein lies a great opportunity for exploration and sharing what you have discovered. I'm not going to go necessarily in any particular order with the events because, of course, it probably doesn't matter to you. But I'm just going to go through and we're going to talk about lots of different pairings. So if you're driving, you know you can get to the archives of this at kskq.org after the fact, usually within a few days, maximum within a week. And you can download these anytime you want. They're fabulous to share. And so next time you want some ideas for some friends coming over or something to bring to a dinner party or a potluck or anything like that, or just purely for your own enjoyment, which is a great place to start, you can always access these great archive shows on kskq.org. So check it out. If you're not able to get reception all the time consistently or you want to share this with somebody else, they can stream it from anywhere. And so that's another fabulous bonus to the kskq.org radio station, the community radio station. So keep that in mind, and we really appreciate it when you share and spread the message of fabulous local radio. And of course, this is live, so if I sneeze, I'll say excuse me, and don't be surprised. All right, so beer and food here on Beer Radio today. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. Let's talk about a few different beer pairings from that Kaleidoscope event I mentioned. We partnered with them, and boy, Wes, their chef, just came up with literally pages of great food ideas. And so he made it happily difficult for us to pick the foods that we wanted to pair with the particular beers. So I'll just run through some of those fabulous combinations. One of the first courses that we enjoyed was a smoked salmon spread, and we paired that with a porter. And that was really quite surprising for a lot of people. Let me tell you why. One reason that pairing a porter with some smoked salmon, and it was incidentally the first course, was surprising for a lot of people was because we started with a beer that some people would call, well, a lot of people call heavy, but I hate that word in describing beer. You know, you don't describe a lot of things as heavy. How about robust? How about full-flavored? Those kinds of words, because that's more applicable and it's certainly less, shall we say, I don't know. It's more open-minded and it's more related to flavor instead of some other things we can conjure up. So we started with a fabulous full-bodied porter and we put that with the smoked salmon. Went nicely with that smoked salmon because that smokiness of the salmon really goes well with the smoky character of the malt. malted barley is one of the primary ingredients in the large majority of beers that you can get in the United States, and it's the color of your beer comes from the roasted or kilned level of your malted barley, so you're going to get a dark color, just like a piece of toast. And the longer you toast it, the darker it gets, right? So consider this malt being roasted or kilned longer periods brings out different kinds of flavors, different opportunities for combinations within the recipe. And so that level of smokiness in that malt, it doesn't taste like campfire smoke. It's deeper roasted, gives you a beautiful, rich color. Sometimes it's completely opaque. Sometimes it's just really a deep translucence. So the color is also appealing. And then that went well with that smoked salmon, because the smoked salmon, of course, inherently has some roasted qualities to it. Even though it's not roasted, it's smoked, you get some real nice full flavors to it without being overwhelming. The other reason we went with this for the course one was that surprise factor that I mentioned before. It's fun to shake up what you think a first course could be. It doesn't always have to be a light-bodied bunch of flavors, a salad, or anything like that. You know, get right to it. Make it happen. One thing I would sidebar with is when you know you're going to go into any kind of great beer, food, beverage experience, make sure your mouth is really free of any kind of flavors that would be lingering. For example, toothpaste is a taste bud killer. It's so strong, no matter what kind of toothpaste you use, and it will completely imbalance what you put on your tongue next. I mean, have you ever had toothpaste? You brush, you're all done and you're like, oh, I'm thirsty for something. How about a glass of milk or a glass of Coke or orange juice? You're like, whoa, that's harsh. So keep that in mind. If you know you're going into it, if at all possible, stay away from things like toothpaste. Coffee is another one. It's a really strong flavor on its own. So if you give your taste buds the best benefit of the experience that's coming at it, you're going to get the most enjoyment and the most education out of it, quite frankly. Your taste buds will be much more receptive to having whatever's put on the tongue and really be able to enjoy it. So let's talk about another course. Another one in that particular meal. Let's see. We had five different courses, and they were all really interesting. You know, I'm going to go to the dessert. We'll start with first and end with last. The dessert course we picked, which happened to be course five, although you could shake it up and put something sweet, like an intermezzo or whatever they call those, you know, somewhere in the middle of a multi-course meal. That's a really fun change up, and it certainly wakes your taste buds up. The last course in that particular meal, we paired a pear cider with, this was a beautiful thing. I wish you could see it. If you can close your eyes safely, if you're not on the road or something like that, close your eyes and envision a beautiful, perfect-looking pear. And it was poached, and it was dipped halfway up in chocolate, and then it was covered with sliced almonds. Let's just take a moment. Yeah. It was beautiful, first of all, which is a big part of the whole beer and food experience and any kind of eating experience at all. And then that pear cider going with an actual pear was really quite lovely. The poaching of the pear makes the flesh still kind of firm, but it's a beautiful texture to it also. And so that crisp, sparkling, real refreshing cider went really nice with that poached pear, and that chocolate really popped because of that. So those were two great courses. So along those lines, I think we're going to have the first song from our beer album, and I'm just going to let our fine production staff pick whichever one they want to. So enjoy the song. We'll announce it after we play it, and keep in mind you're listening to Beer Radio at kskq.org at 94.9 on your dial.
Was tut man denn nicht für den Fremdenverkehr? Der Fremdenverkehr zieht die Fremden uns her. Drum muss irgendwas für die Fremden geschehen, was sie bei uns nur sehen.
Der Maibaum, die Wiesen verlieren ihren Glanz, erschallen die Watschen beim Tanz.
Ja, den Watschentanz, ja, den Watschentanz, tanzt der Schneider Hans mit dem Schuster Franz. Ja, der Watschentanz, der ist sehr beliebt, weil's bei uns nichts Schöneres gibt.
Und es klatscht nicht schlecht, und es patscht nicht schlecht, und dabei sind die Watschen nicht echt. Alle Fremden bleiben ganz verwundert stehen, weil sie sowas noch nirgends gesehen. Ja, den Watschentanz
tanzt der Schneider Hans mit dem Schuster Franz.
Ja, der Watschentanz, der ist sehr beliebt, weil's bei uns nichts Schöneres gibt.
Und es klatscht nicht schlecht, und es patscht nicht schlecht, und dabei sind die Watschen nicht echt.
Alle Fremden bleiben ganz verwundert stehen, weil sie sowas noch nirgends gesehen.
How about that? That'll get you up and dancing. That was from the German beer drinking music record I found last week, and that was, all right, I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to warn you. That was Watschentanz, and I'm going to come up with the interpretations, the what it means in German here shortly, although I was listening to it, and I do know that they have In Heaven There Is No Beer, and so we'll see about playing that one. In a little later in the show. So you're listening to the Newly Tapped Beer Radio here on community radio station KSKQ.org. I'm your host, Ginger Johnson. Thanks for listening. It's episode 3, and we're excited. This is fabulous. Weeks to come, we're going to be doing more, all kinds of different topics, more music. I'm going to be getting some guests in, some different people in the beer community that I know that are willing to talk and share and all kinds of things. The show is, of course, on KSKQ.org, 94.9 FM, are streamable and archived. So dig into those at your leisure when you've got a project. Find a great program that you want to listen to. Of course, we are coming to you live today from Ashland, Oregon, and we appreciate it when you listen and encourage your friends and enemies because, you know, they've got to listen to something. Listen to all our lineup of show. Wolf was here before, and we've got another great show following this. So, like Food and Beer Together, the variety of shows we offer provide some terrific compliments to your life. We're going to pause for a sponsor notification. St. Clair Productions is pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQ LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. St. Clair Productions is the Rogue Valley source for live music with an eclectic mix of folk music concerts at Ashland's Unitarian Center from September through May. Styles include blues, bluegrass, Americana, and music from around the world. For a complete listing of upcoming shows, go to www.stclairevents.com. That's STCLAIREVENTS.com, or you can call them at 541-535-3562. KSKQ thanks St. Clair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio. All right, welcome back to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. Today we're talking more about beer and food because, quite frankly, it's one of my favorite topics. Got lots of things going on the West Coast and in Oregon in particular with beer and food related. Hopefully it's starting in your kitchen. What are you putting together for beer and food? What are you experimenting with and trying and sampling and getting your friends involved? A little gentle beer coercion here is a fabulous thing. Bring over a six-pack next time you go to somebody's house. They're looking for something. It's a fantastic way just to keep the experimentation going. So we're talking about some food and beer combinations today, and we are going to keep going with some other menu selections we've done while the production crew whispers in the background about the music. They're doing great. No, they're fine. You're okay. It's great. Thanks. I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. How's that? So we're going to talk about some menu items from a summer session that Women Enjoying Beer did last summer, and we're just kind of jumping around, no particular order. This is great material, so like I mentioned before, these are streamable, so if you don't catch it this time, either send me an email at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com and ask me, what was that combination you were talking about? Or go ahead and dig it from the archives on kskq.org. Couple other combinations from a summer event. We featured the a brewery that's an organic brewery in Portland called Hopworks Urban Brewery, otherwise known as Hub. They are available definitely in Southern Oregon. Christian and his whole crew does a great job making some really delicious beers. So let me share a couple of combinations that we used at that event last summer. The next combination that we'll talk about from that one last summer was with an ESB. It's an English session beer, and it usually has a nice, lighter-bodied. It's certainly lower on the ABV, which is alcohol by volume. A lot of beers in the States, on average, are about 5.5%, roughly. And so those are beers that you can have a couple of in moderation or responsibly and still be completely functional. And they're nice because they're not over-the-top alcohol, because the difference between about 5% to 7% or 8%, even though it's small in the numbers arena, it can be a pretty significant jump. So just be aware of the alcohol in your beer. That the Organic Velvet ESB was the one we featured, and we paired it with a Caesar salad. And I love pairing salad with beer because it usually throws people off, and I'm good at that. If you rethink what it is you're putting in your mouth and you're rethinking what the combinations are and what the possibilities are, it's fabulous. All you have to do is open up. You know, when it boils down to it, it's beer and it's food. And guess what? There's going to be so many other opportunities to dig into that if you try something and you're not keen on it, move on. This is not about life commitment or a mortgage payment. This is about beer and food. So this ESB went nicely with a Caesar salad for a couple specific reasons. First of all, the ESB is kind of a medium-bodied flavor. And when I say that, I mean that it's got some flavor to taste. It's not what you'd call a lawnmower beer or a really, really light-bodied beer, which is fabulous if you want more on the refreshment kind of arena for something in your glass. You're working hard, you want some hydration. Those are a lot of times lower in alcohol also. Not always, certainly sometimes. So this ESB, this English session beer, it's a really nice medium flavor to it, and it also has some nice hops aroma and flavor. Hops doesn't have to give a ton of bittering. There's two kinds of hops that brewers use. There's what's called aroma hops, and there's what's called bittering hops. And so depending on what hops they're using, that will dictate what kinds of bitterness and what kinds of aromas you get contributed by the hops. So this ESB, it's a 5.2% alcohol by volume, so it's in the nice, real drinkable range for a lot of people. It's also in the really nice, what I call crowd-pleasing range, and it's also lower on IBUs. An IBU is International Bittering Unit. That's how the industry measures how significant that bittering profile is. So 30 is low. Just as a benchmark, the scale goes from 1 to 100, I believe, or does it goes over 100 maybe. I'll double check on that and get back to you. But that 30 is pretty low on that scale. So that tells you that it's not going to be extremely bitter. If you don't care for overly bitter beers, this could be a great choice. These ESBs as a category, as a style, could be a great choice. The reason it went so well with that Caesar salad is that, as you may know, Caesar salads have a pretty rich, albeit not necessarily heavily applied, dressing to them. You know, an original Caesar salad dressing has raw egg, it has anchovies, so you've got some real significant proteins and stuff that's going to stick to your tongue and in your mouth cavity. The great thing about something like an ESB or a lower alcohol, crisper, medium flavored beer is that it's going to help clean your mouth to prep it for that really nice flavor that that dressing provides with that salad. The hops has a quality where it kind of cleanses the palate. If you ever noticed, a lot of people love something like a light lager style, something that's cold and crisp with fried food. Well, here's another riff on that. The fat or oils or anything that will coat your mouth can be happily removed by that beer when you introduce it. So what does that do? Well, when you introduce that crisp, refreshing beer that can help clean your palate, literally, then your taste buds are more receptive once again to the food that's coming up next or whatever's coming up next. So you're kind of like getting the car dirty and washing it off, getting the car dirty and washing it off. You're giving your mouth this rinse and repeat cycle that's fantastic and really receptive to flavor. So that was a fun combination. An ESB with a Caesar salad, you get a really nice medium combination of those two. One of the kickers with beer and food is you should always try to have some of the beer and some of the food in your mouth at the same time. Have it separately, but the magic really happens when you have them both in your mouth at the same time. That's when those flavors explode. Beer, by its very nature, has at least four ingredients. You've got water, some sort of grain, which is usually a malted barley, hops, and the yeast, and then you're pairing it with food. Well, rarely do we just eat a single ingredient food, especially if it's at a meal. So do some math. See the exponential potential for flavor combinations between beer, which has at least four, and that food, which has at least one, if not two, three, six, ten, whatever it is. You know, things like soups, things like casseroles, all that kind of those great multi-ingredient dishes really provide an explosive opportunity for different experiences that for your taste buds. And so that's one of the really fun things about food and beer. You're listening to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. We're coming to you live from KSKQ.org in Ashland, Oregon, community-supported radio. And, of course, we always appreciate your support. It's easy and simple. You can log on and help us continue airing great programming, lots of live programming. You can stream the programs, and you can access them from our archive. So thanks for listening today. We're talking about beer and food combinations in particular. We talked a little bit about it last week. We're coming at you every day. Not every day. Oh, egads. not every day. Every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time here on KSKQ. And we're talking about beer and food. We talked about it last week because it's such a fabulous topic, and you can guarantee that we're going to revisit it again. Send me any questions, combinations, or suggestions ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com, and I will always introduce those queries and great ideas at the next show in each following week. So we're talking about beer and food, talking about specifically some beer and food combinations that I've done in the past with some different events. We're going to talk about a pretty, here we go. Beer and dessert is also one of my favorite things, and it's one of my favorite things for a couple reasons. It's one of my favorite things because, guess what? It ends up being a lot of other people's favorite things, and I love making people happy with beer. Responsible beer consumption, of course, is what we're talking about. Really savoring and enjoying and get the full benefit of all that effort that went into that incredibly simple, straightforward, amazing product we call beer. Beer and dessert, one of my favorite courses. We already talked about one other pairing. We're going to talk about another one. And, you know, as the bumper sticker says, eat dessert first. I don't think you'd ever be sorry. A great dessert combination that inspired a moment of silence in the entire room was this next one. It was a stout. It was called the Seven Grain Stout. And I'll tell you the Seven Grains if you're interested here in just a minute. It's a lower alcohol, once again, about 5.3 ABV, alcohol by volume. That's your alcohol measurement. And it was by Hub Brewery out of Portland, another fantastic brewery in the Oregon beer family. Seven Grain Stout is what they're brewing. And we had a mocha milkshake made with a stout. And let me tell you what, people are still raving about it. We're going to have to try to recreate it because it was out of this world. Maybe you're thinking, oh yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm going to do that. And maybe you're thinking, what? a beer milkshake. Mm-hmm. I am here to evangelize that putting beer with ice cream is one of the most incredible combinations your mouth could ever be privy to. So even if it doesn't appeal to you, do it for your mouth. So this seven-grain stout from Hub had these different seven grains, and they call it seven-grain stout because they're using grains from all over the globe. They used barley, which was used by the Egyptians and, of course, used present day in America, most definitely. Wheat, which is used in Mesopotamia. Oats, which the Egyptians also used. Amaranth, which was something the Aztecs used. Quinoa, which was something the Incans used. Spelt, which is Mesopotamian. And kamut, which is, or kamut, I'm not sure, I apologize, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, which the Egyptians used as well. And so we used seven different grains. The stout was fantastic. And one of the wonderful things about a great quality stout that's really been taken care of, that's in great shape, is the mouthfeel it provides. When we talk about mouthfeel, we're talking about the texture of that beer in your mouth. It's not necessarily the flavor. Flavor is different. But the mouthfeel is that texture, that pressing your tongue to the roof of your mouth, that you do when you have something that you just really want more of, or that really gets your attention. And this stout was fabulous because it had so much going on. You had seven grains, good Lord. And then you've got the water, and then you've got some hops, and then you've got the yeast. And so, wow, you've got at least 10 things going on that combine for just a really amazing combination. To finalize that, if we could put another cherry on top of that sundae, they finished it with 15 pounds of cold-pressed coffee, espresso in particular. And so that coffee added another layer, another accent, another augmentation for those flavors. And we put that together with some really high-quality mocha ice cream and some malted milk powder, and we put it all together, and it was absolutely out of this world. I hope I'm making you hungry. I hope that you're inspired to either get some ice cream or get it out of your freezer, get some great stout, something that's really a lovely flavor, and mix it all together, because I'm telling you, there is just about nothing better. And it is happy hour after all. It's always happy hour somewhere, and it is right now here in Southern Oregon. So what better reason? What a great little treat at the end of your day for that mocha milkshake. So along those lines, I'm going to let you cogitate that, and we're going to listen to another song from our beer drinking album here on Beer Radio.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier. Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnapp so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken wir alle unser Bier.
Und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heut seid gescheit, liebe Leute. hier, denn Singspiel ist mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier.
All right, welcome back to Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host, streaming live from KSKQ.org here in Ashland, Oregon. We are listening to some music this time on Beer Radio, this German beer drinking music, can you tell? And that was Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, and it also, even if I butchered it, it means in heaven there is no beer. So that's by Alphonse Bauer, his zither and orchestra. I don't even know what a zither is, but somebody needs to find out and let me know. So welcome back to Beer Radio. Here we are. Like Beer and Food Together, the variety of shows on KSKQ.org provides great complement to your life. So Jason's in the studio doing some production for us, and he's got some questions. We're talking about beer and food today. So Jason, what was one of your questions?
Thanks. Definitely was inspired by what you were saying, and had a couple of questions. One, I hadn't really thought of a multi-course meal. You know, you get the multiple courses, but you don't never really think of the beverage as being part of the course. So that
sure.
was kind of neat.
Cool. Thanks.
Kind of getting a little echo there, but I had a couple of questions. One, would it be proper to, as different courses, you know, offering like a different beer, but you often see where you would mix a beer and then maybe a non-beer drink or a beer and a wine?
Absolutely. Great question. Jason's asking, would you, if you had a multi-course meal and beer was involved, would you have beer, and then for a next course, would you not have a beer or a non-alcoholic drink? Is that what you're asking?
Something like that, yeah. How would that best complement yourselves?
Sure.
I mean, the old bar knowledge is you never mix like the different types of drinks, you know. And well, do you mix beer and wine? And how would you do that
sure.
in the best manner
sure.
to enjoy all of the experiences of
sure.
the palate?
Sure, great question. I would definitely encourage people to mix their fermented beverages, their alcoholic beverages, with non-alcoholic beverages in the courses. So for the first course, perhaps, maybe you don't want to start with an alcoholic beverage because your stomach is at its most empty. So your first course could be something else entirely. You could have any kind of a juice or punch or great iced water. You could have anything like that. And as long as if you're looking at matching the course of food with the beverage, then boy, you know, game on. As far as alcohol goes, I definitely would encourage people to be what we call cross drinkers. About 2/3 of the people that partake of alcohol in America are what they call cross drinkers. And what that means is they drink beer, wine, and spirits. And so you can mix and match. After all, beer and wine are both fermented. Of course, alcohol is distilled. So you have some great opportunities to mix and match. So I would definitely encourage people to do that. That's a lot of fun. Plus, some people think it's a versus an and. Mm. And so if you think of you can have beer and wine in the same meal or beer and spirits, you know, it kind of shakes your thinking in general. So that's a great question. Yeah. Thank you. What's your next one?
Another question, too. This always happens to me, especially when I go out to a Mexican restaurant and you get the chips and salsa. And I always eat too much salsa and your mouth is on fire.
Yes.
The food comes and it's like you can't even enjoy your food because your mouth is so on fire from the salsa.
Right.
Is there I hadn't really heard you talk about spicy mixing. What would be a good beer that could complement a salsa? And then maybe what would be, is there a beer that would be a better grab than just grabbing the ice water to cool your mouth? Is there some sort of a beer alternative.
Sure. Those are great questions. Thanks, Jason. Those are kind of questions we want to hear from you. You can email us. Email me at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. Let me know what you want to know. So Jason's curious about, say you're at a great restaurant that has some really spicy food, like, for example, a Mexican restaurant. The salsa's just got your mouth afire, and it's, you know, it's fabulous. It's great pain, but you also want to put the fire out. So the answer to that is a beer that is lighter in bodied, lighter to medium in bodied, and has some nice hops to it. Not overly bitter, but definitely has some nice crisp hops to it, would be a great choice, and here's why. We talked a little bit ago about how hops can help strip your tongue of fats and oils and things like that. Those same properties in hops can help your tongue cleanse itself, refresh, put some of that fire out by getting rid of some of that heat. And then I would go ahead, of course, and use something like water to rinse out after that. But that kind of beer, an American-style lager or something, is a great choice. Also, some milder tasting towards the medium family of, you know, you could, there could potentially be an ESB or a brown or a red that doesn't have a ton of flavor, but certainly has the hops in it, and that can help cool things down in your mouth as well. So
great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Excellent. Those are great questions. Thank you so much. We're going to pause for one of our announcements here at KSKQ Radio, and the next one is from McGuire Industries Engineering. McGuire Industries Engineering is a proud supporter of KSKQ LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. They provide communications engineering, solid-state lighting, consultation services, and more. Contact Mike McGuire at 541-201-8777, or you can email them engineering@ashlandhome.net. KSKQ thanks McGuire Industries and listeners like you for supporting community radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host of Beer Radio here, live streaming from KSKQ.org. We've got a little time left. We've had some music. We're talking about beer and food today on Beer Radio. We're here every Wednesday live. We'll try to be here live for the most part. We've got some different things coming up, and we'll look at doing either remote or some recordings or something to keep that beerness in you happy as we keep going talking about beer. We're talking about beer and food today. Last week we talked about beer and food, and guess what? We're probably going to talk about beer and food again. It's a great topic. It's unlimited in its possibilities. Specifically today, we're talking about some past beer combinations with foods that we featured at some different events that I've given as part of the business Women Enjoying Beer. So let's talk about some beer and salsa. What a great combination. It's the middle of March, and people might be thinking about, you know, hoping for summer. I personally love winter. You know, and salsa and beer are both seasonless things, and you can have them anytime. Just grab your knife, chop some things up, throw them together, and you just got some winning combinations. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some beer and salsa combinations we did at an event last year. One kind of beer we haven't talked at all about tonight is an IPA. And an IPA stands for India Pale Ale, and there's definitely some legend, lore, mythology to the IPA. The short story that's commonly circulated was about the name IPA. How did India Pale Ale, how did that get its name? So IPA is reputed to have gotten its name historically. If we go back in time to when the United Kingdom, when England was a huge world dominant power, part of their overseeing was the oversight of India. And, of course, British troops were in India and so forth. And so if we go back in time, of course, we remember that shipping, the term shipping, which we use for any kind of transportation these days, really, shipping really started out on ships. And to get supplies to the troops in India from England, of course, required quite an extensive trip. And this was not like traveling on the Queen Mary. This was very perfunctory and purpose-oriented. And so the Brits would brew their beer, they would ship it over, and unfortunately, by the time it got over, it was bad, and they started tinkering around. I'm really, you know, making a condensed version of this for you. I'm sure you can dig up specific history on the web, but IPA, the pale ale they would ship over to India wouldn't be good by the time it reached there, just because it was such a long overseas voyage. And they started tinkering around, and they put more hops in it because hops does have a preservative quality to it, and realized that at a certain level it would stay stable and it was drinkable by the time it arrived. So they dubbed that IPA India Pale Ale, and that's where that name supposedly comes from. Very, very popular style of beer, especially on the West Coast. And it seems like a lot of people that get into into beer drinking, start exploring into the IPAs because they do have some really pronounced flavors. We talked a little bit earlier about there's a couple different kinds of hops as far as what they contribute. Well, there's dozens of kinds of specific hops, varieties, but what I'm talking about is you can use aroma hops or you can use bittering hops. And so the aroma hops, of course, you're adding to the recipe for their aroma qualities, for those fabulous smells. I hope you smell your beer. Be sure to smell your beer. If you don't, start smelling your beer. If you do, kudos to you. Keep smelling your beer and encourage others to do so. So you've got those aroma hops, and you've also got the bittering hops. And the bittering hops, of course, provides that bite, that snap, and different levels of that. IPAs definitely have an obvious bittered hops profile character to them. They're really crisp. They go really well with certain foods. I talked last week about how I love doing a really floral, crisp, citrusy IPA with sharp cheddar cheese and fresh grapefruit because it's really a great combination. Let me share with you another fabulous combination with an IPA. We decided to pair it with a pineapple and I think they were Anaheim peppers in a salsa, nice and chopped up with some olive oil and salt and pepper. Really, really simple. And it was just a great combination. So we used fresh pineapple. You could probably use processed pineapple. That fresh will really, that beautiful juiciness to that fresh pineapple provides also great aroma. So that's a nice thing to have with your food. That fresh pineapple chopped up with the Anaheim peppers. We also used some poblano peppers and a little bit of jalapeno to give it a little extra zing. Little tiny bit of olive oil and then some salt and pepper. Put that together and had that with that IPA. Wow, what a fabulous combination. Total surprise. First of all, most people don't put pineapple and pepper together, or a lot of people don't anyway, so it jogs your thinking. And we paired that with that really nice IPA. So the IPA is going to be higher on the IBU scale, the International Bittering Units, which tells you how much bite to your beer you're getting. And so that was a really fun combination we did last summer also. Talking about beer and food here on Beer Radio, I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. Let's talk about another one. So several months ago, I'm guessing maybe close to a year ago, I got a contact from a brewer in New Zealand. It's really pretty darn cool. And she said, hey, we've got some great beer. We're coming into the United States. Would you be willing to have us ship you some beer and try it at your groups and tell us what you think? Well, that wasn't a hard question to answer. I definitely accepted very happily. And they arrived in three great big boxes, and we got a ton of mileage out of that fabulous beer. One of those beers was a black ale. And a black ale was completely new to me at that time. There is what's now being bandied about in different names, but here on the West Coast it's called the Cascadian IPA, I think. Cascadian Pale Ale. Cascadian Dark Ale, there it is. Other people call it something else, but the whole point is that you have a huge color profile, really dark, deep color profile, with something that's traditionally been lighter to medium flavored beer. And so we got this black ale, opened it up. It was fabulous. It was really a nice, easy drinking beer. As I recall, it was in the very moderate range for alcohol. So it was also nice. It wasn't going to give an overwhelming alcoholic kind of flavor, which some really strong beers can give. And the color was a complete surprise. So we paired this lovely black ale, because it was truly beautiful, with an olive tapenade. Once again, jogging the thinking. Basic black olives. I used some black beans in that also, which provided a different kind of texture and mouthfeel. Some capers to give it a little bit of that zip, a little olive oil, garlic, lemon juice, and cilantro. So we paired that black ale with this olive tapenade, and it was really a fun surprise. So you had a nice, lush mouthfeel with this beautiful, what you thought was going to be a huge mouthfeel, and when in fact it was a really gorgeous medium-bodied texture in your mouth. And that was a really fun surprise for a lot of people. So encouraging you here today on Beer Radio to try all kinds of different foods with your beers and beers with your foods, because you never know when you're going to come across something that just really trips your trigger. And that's one of the beauties of beer. Beer is beautifully simple and very multi-layered at the same time. It always has those four ingredients, and it pairs just infinitely well with lots and lots of different foods. In fact, if you don't try it, you're not going to know what you're going to get. When you pair beer and food, please make sure to have some of that beer and some of that food in your mouth at the same time. That's one of the beautiful things to pairing beer and food. If you know, you just want to drink beer, fine, great, drink beer. Beer is wonderful standalone beverage. At the same time, you know, why not make it explode with some great quality food as well? I think the last pairing we'll talk about today, and then we'll have one song to take us out of Beer Radio today, this week, is was from a gluten-free event we did. And gluten-free issues, otherwise known as celiacs, tolerance or absolute intolerance, sensitivities, what have you, is a growing concern for a lot of people. Some people have had it for a long time, or have been aware of it, I should say, for a long time. Some people just really struggle with what's going on with their bodies, and sometimes it's celiacs. I've got a couple of good friends that have, you know, finally discovered that that's one of the issues, why they kind of feel the way they feel, and bam, when they get that isolated, when that's finally diagnosed and they know what the heck's going on and they're a beer drinker, well, then you just go in a different direction. The great news today that I'm here to deliver is that more and more breweries are making some gluten-free beers. So there's lots of answers out there. In addition to beers, I always encourage people to consider other fermented beverages that can fit the bill that don't have any kind of grain in them whatsoever. Celiacs, of course, is the intolerance of wheat and barley. There's a lot of great grains that don't have any of those grains in particular, that don't have any of that gluten that would come from those, things like spelt and so forth. So there's lots of different choices, and there's more and more choices for gluten-free beverages. Ciders are a fabulous choice. If you enjoy an alcoholic beverage and you want something along the lines of a crisp, refreshing drink that has some great flavor to it, ciders are a terrific choice. Pear ciders, apple ciders, really simple. Mead is another fantastic choice. I love mead. Generally, mead is higher alcohol because mead is fermented honey. Very, very rich flavor sometimes. Just really a total different kind of flavor exploration. Tons of fun with that. So we'll talk about one beer in particular with a pairing from a gluten-free event last year, and then we will wrap it up for today. I can't believe that an hour's almost gone by. One of the pairings that we featured with beer and food at the gluten-free event last time we did that was what I would definitely encourage people to try, whether you're gluten intolerant or not. It's the Red Bridge beer put out by Anheuser-Busch InBev. It's comes out of St. Louis, Missouri, of course. And they did an extra step, which I really admired. On the website for them, they've got the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness as a partner. So I learned a ton about celiacs. You know, I'm fortunate that I don't have to think about it. I can just go ahead and go for it. But I have a whole new appreciation for the fact that some people really have to think hard about what they can put in their body to give their body the best opportunity to flourish. So that Red Bridge by Anheuser-Busch is a really nice beer. I would just have that in my fridge in general. And hopefully you're a beer geek and not a snob. We need the great big brewers in order for the small brewers to survive and to grow and to learn from what those great big brewers can afford as far as technology and keeping beer at its best and keeping beer developing in the direction we want it to be, which is a fantastic universal beverage on the face of our lovely planet. So we paired that Red Bridge with some different things. One thing we offered, because it was kind of a little bit of a buffet sampling, was we picked some vegan cheese. It was almond cheese, which was quite lovely. It had a nice medium creamy texture to it, which the Red Bridge went really nice with that gluten-free beer. And that cheese went nicely together. We had some different fruits. I think we had some pears, and that was an interesting combination. Some people didn't care for it so much, but that's the great thing. You're just trying it. It's at the end of the day, it's just beer and it's just food. And if you don't like it, you can find something else that you do like. So that gluten-free beer, there are lots and lots of choices. Bard's is another label. It's made with sorghum. Very full, medium flavored. It's completely different. Be ready for a new flavor, and I would definitely encourage you to try it. It's a great one to share, too, because it is pretty packed full of flavor in there. And once again, the ciders. You know, there's some great ciders available at wherever you can buy your beer and your ciders and your alcoholic beverages. And those are always great choices. So I think I'll wrap it up with a little bit of lead out here. Be sure to tune in to kskq.org every Wednesday from 5 to 6 for Beer Radio. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please share it with your friends. Tell people to listen to it. You can stream it live. Of course, in fact, that's probably a really effective way for a lot of people. We're low power. We're looking for more support so we can go to a stronger octane, as it were, through the airwaves. And we would love to be able to do that. And we need your help with that. And you can also access the archives at kskq.org. Lots and lots of great programs, lots of variety. And you can do that at any time that's convenient for you. Isn't that lovely? And we appreciate you listening in. So email me any questions at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. I'll cover them on next week's show. And we've been talking about beer and food again today. We're going to lead out with another song from this fabulous beer drinking album. And thanks for listening. And we will talk to you next week. Cheers.